Joining me now on this edition of Our Town, I have three guests here and two microphones, so it's going to be a little wonky going back and forth. That's okay. Robin Smith, business owner and youth leader and concerned citizen. Aaron Cahoon, he's the pastor of student ministries at Florence Christian Church. And Kelsey Larson, a 15-year-old sophomore at Cyrus Law High School. And they're here today to talk about the Faith Project. Well, good day to everybody.
Morning.
Y'all doing okay?
Yeah.
Yes. Good, good. So let's start with Aaron. Give us a little synopsis of the Faith Project. It's an acronym.
Yes, the Faith Project stands for Florence Against Ignoring Trafficked Humans. And what it is it's a group of, like you said, concerned citizens who have gotten together and have recognized that human trafficking is a major issue in our country. A lot of people think that it's something that takes place overseas, but really it takes place right here in the U.S. and even in our small town. A lot of people don't realize that I-5 and Highway 101 are major human trafficking thoroughfares as it connects Canada to Mexico. And so there's a lot of crime taking place right in and through our little town.
Now, how do we see this as happening and not really hear about it a whole lot? Why is it that we don't hear about it much?
Sure. A lot of it is taking place through Florence. And so people are traveling to larger cities and metropolitan areas. And they use Highway 101 because it's less populated than I-5 and therefore less covered by law enforcement. And so at the same time, it does take place right here in Florence. And often what it is there are people that are brought into a relationship or into a business opportunity to say, hey, come and travel the world with us, see different parts of the country. We'll take care of all of your food and all of your housing. And you just come and work in housekeeping or in landscaping. And they're usually up and okay businesses and that type of thing. And then over time, as they say, why don't we hold on to your ID for you so that you don't have to worry about it? And they become over time entrapped and enslaved and sometimes still used within housekeeping or within landscaping, but often also in sex trafficking over time.
So it's sort of like a bait and switch. We'll offer you this. And then after you get involved in it and we have kind of control of you, then we say, hey, now you're going to do this for us.
Correct. Yes. And wow. They don't have many options because they rely on these people, again, for their transportation, for their food, for their housing. They don't have any IDs to go out on their own. And often there is a lot of other manipulation that takes place that makes them feel reliant on the people that are who at first took care of them pretty well and treated them well, but then began to take advantage of them over time.
Now, Robin, is this mainly like U.S. citizens are getting involved in this? Is it foreign people? Who are some of the people that are caught up in this?
Well, I believe that it first started, I think a lot of people think it's just overseas, that it doesn't happen here, but that is not true. It happens here. There are foreign people that are involved in it here in the U.S., but there's also U.S. citizens that are entrapped into it and are enticed into something that is not as it seems. And so it is U.S. citizens as well, and they're just being told something different, obviously.
Is there a way, or is there a certain type of person they look for to entrap in this? Is one group of people more vulnerable to this than others?
You know, it could be more people that are seeking out just a better opportunity than maybe that they have. But I don't believe that it's just a certain, you know, group of people. It may be more for people that say don't have as much maybe economic, you know, wealth or something, or looking for, you know, a quick way out. Oh, I can make a lot of money doing this. And, and sometimes they target teenagers also. You can make this, you know, $500 in a week doing this, and you barely have to do anything. And so they just entice them that way. A lot of times they do kind of target teenagers.
Do we know if they do things like use social media to kind of like troll and see who's out there? Maybe someone who's complaining about what they're doing, or someone complaining about their family life. Do they do things like that?
Oh, definitely. Yes. I think social media is the number one way that they do that now. It's not even just approaching people. It's they're acting like they're someone else on social media. They may be, you know, there's an adult acting like they are a teenager and trying to gain their trust. Then they, you know, ask for a meeting, and, you know, then they're like, oh, well, it's someone totally different, or, yeah.
Now, Kelsey, you're a sophomore at Cyrus Law High School. What got you interested in the Faith Project?
So we went to a camp called DIY at Oregon State University, where we they brought up the idea to help sex trafficking, and through that, they told us about the app that we can use and what we...
Well, tell me a little bit about the app, because I heard you the other day when you were at the Chamber event talking about that. Mm-hmm. What does this app do?
So it's called Traffic Cam, and you take 4 pictures of the hotel room, and they get sent off to a database. And through that, the police and the investigators can match up the hotel rooms with the pictures. So through online advertisement that they use, they can match up the pictures, because every hotel room is different through their art or the placement of the furniture, so they can then match up to the case. Yeah.
So I think I remember you saying this, that at some point these traffickers will use videos that they've taken in hotel rooms in order to put these people out there, that these people are available for whatever they're using them for.
Yeah.
And so therefore, that's why the database is so important?
Yeah.
Okay. And how do we know how large the database is now? I mean, how many cities it encompasses?
We're not sure as far as how many cities, because it is used by individuals. Any person can download this app called Traffic Cam and use it as they go on vacation, as they're in hotel rooms and use it. So it's not just for organizations like ours. But there have been millions of photos already uploaded to this database that is available to all law enforcement, the FBI. And as you upload photos, as you're a user and you're out on vacation, you take a few photos of your room and upload. It actually tells you in that moment how many photos have been uploaded to date, so that you see that you're part of something much, much larger than yourself. And yet every individual that's listening today can make a difference in this.
Now, have they talked to any hotel owners? Because obviously I would think that a hotel owner would go like, I don't want my business used for that. I would imagine that would be maybe a pretty stressful thing there.
Certainly. We have contacted pretty much every hotel in Florence already and presented to them this project for their consideration. We've already started taking photos in hotels and partnering with some of them. Others are currently getting approval, and we're answering questions as they come up so that we can partner with one hotel at a time and then work with them, their housekeeping staff, as their cleaning rooms, whatever works best to not interrupt their normal everyday business and come in. We have a crew of students that's been out on a number of occasions to tackle. We completed about 65% of one hotel in about an hour and a half as students spread out and took photos and uploaded them to the app. And we look to set aside a couple of days again to do that as we continue to canvass the rest of Florence.
Now, bringing awareness to this issue, what's the hope here? What is the hope that you get from this, Robin?
The hope, I believe, is just that we can bring awareness to the public here, that this does happen, and it does happen in our town. Even some of the hotel owners workers that we've spoken to, they go, oh no, that doesn't happen here. And yes, it does actually. And it may not happen in that hotel or their hotel, but it does happen here in this town. So we would just like to bring awareness. We would like to help with education about it, possibly in training and prevention, of course, and then also to some aftercare for survivors of the human trafficking.
Now, obviously, this is something that anybody of almost any age can do. But Kelsey, what is your encouragement to other high school students or other young people to get involved in this?
I would just encourage them to be educated on it and just be aware of it, that it is a very real thing, especially in this small town. That it's very easily can be helped through like the app that we talked about.
Well, I noticed that, a lot of it's always that kind of sense that people go, oh, this doesn't happen in our town. And then you see something that is incredibly horrific that happens in a small town. And they go, well, it's never happened to us before. So I guess there needs to be an awareness, because you never know what might be passing through, or even an element that might actually be in the community. Heaven forbid that wouldn't happen, but I suppose it could.
Yeah, certainly. We hope that isn't something that resides here, and yet it is on its way through. And as people are traveling through, they're always looking for new victims. And so teenagers especially need to be aware of who they're talking to on social media, on communicating with parents and trusted adults about opportunities to maybe get out and to make money and to travel the world, and things that maybe seem too good to be true possibly are. And so not isolating yourself and trying to make decisions on your own, but finding a few adults that you can trust. Some people don't have their parents involved, or the parents are not even physically around. And so it's trying to find some other people, students that they can trust and talk to, so that they're not making big life decisions on their own, because we're all capable of being victimized in some sense.
So the important thing is if something seems weird or strange, they should let somebody know. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, what does, I guess there's not a big database of, say, like the homeless population. So do we know if there's that sector population also gets caught up in this, or is it more of people that they can find through social media and things like that?
That's an excellent question that I couldn't speak directly to as far as their strategy for reaching out. I would think that as people are looking to manipulate and use others, they will use any avenue they can find.
And I will say that what I have done some research on is that if someone is homeless, or even if a lot of times when teenagers become homeless, they say within 48 hours they can be trafficked. It's probably because of the manipulation that the traffickers use.
Right. And so, we'll give you a room that you're not getting rained on,
you know,
and some food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that's one thing that I have read and in many different areas, that within 48 hours that they can become trafficked.
Yeah, that's scary.
And I understand, too, in Florence, there's a small, but, you know, actually for our population, probably larger, of homeless students, so homeless teenagers, too. So
yeah,
they're vulnerable.
There's a large population of homeless students in our town. And homelessness, according to our district, is defined as people that don't live in a single family dwelling or that live. We have a lot of students that I'm connected with are couch surfing.
Yeah.
Exactly what I was going to say, that just looking for a spot to have, like you said, a dry, warm bed and some food to eat. And so there is risk here.
Gosh, I feel in a lot of ways that we're losing some of our kids these days because of that. And it's just really hard.
But it is.
All right, well, thank you all for being here.
Thank you very much.
An emotional issue for sure here on this edition of Our Town. And coming up after the top of the hour, in the 6 o'clock hour, we continue with the Oregon Coast Humane Society.